So, now thanks for your last talk of today. The stage is yours.
Yeah, thank you. Hello. Sorry, I'm a bit sick today. So, anyway, so I want to talk about a bit about GIMP. And so, GIMP is like our latest version of the like project vision stuff, which is community driven, free software of high end image creation and manipulation. So basically, there is a free software part, and everybody knows this, which is like there's a bunch of features and the current version, and the license is free to run and to modify and to redistribute and so on and so on. So like that's boring part that usually we would show, and it's a bunch of usages. Many knows about photography. There's photos by Patrick David, one of GIMP. Big contributors and illustrations. As that was the person who did this 7x also in the contributors and did a 210 splash image. It was not this one, another one, I think. And like astrophysics here, and like it's this the guy who made this is also the one who made our 3-0 splash image. So like European. Space Agency, ESA, and like, so that's, so it's, GIMP is using a bunch of nice places, and that's Liam who is around here, who does a lot of scanning, cleanups and everything of very old images, and like, that's the kind of stuff that we do. I mean, like me and Ario, because we make animation films, so like, yeah, we have a production in France to make animation films, so like, it's, we know that GIMP is used like in all, like I know in video games they use it a lot, and in mapping also, like the map making ecosystem and this kind of stuff. So we can also tell you about our incredible debugging techniques, like that's real photo from Michael Maintner, like making debugging GIMP. So, but like. Let's come back to the project vision. Like one very interesting part is like the community driven part. That's what I wanted to talk about mostly today. So GIMP is as a bit of history. It's like exists for like more than 30 years old now, because I think it was November 95 that it was first released as a source code. Like, but it's community developed from, I think, 97. So like basically the first two authors were like students, and they just left after like 1 year or 2 years, and they just disappeared and made the live, and like it was taken by the community. So like if I look at the repository, I just looked yesterday, like we have 981 names, which is probably much more, because actually before Git, like with Subversion and CVS and everything, the names, you could not put everybody's name. Back then, only people with commit rights could have the names, unlike Git. So like, it's really a project which is like people first, and we have like a lot of type of contributors. Like, they're like, when you see like, names in the repository, it's only even a part of it, because we have like designers and packagers and Miros contributors and like everything. Like Miros, for instance, like our infrastructure, the GNOME Foundation, for instance, they recently changed to like, how do you call it? CCDN or whatever, like, basically bandwidth contributed by a company and everything. And, but we just wanted to stay with our Miro infrastructure, which was based on community basically, because we have like, I don't know, 60 or something, Miro sponsors all across the world, and we think it's just much better to like rely on community rather than relying on one corporation giving nicely. It's very nice bandwidth, but it's not the same. So like it's really like people, like I dig up all photos, and actually you can find people in these photos that are in this room right now, like this was like maybe the first GIMPCon, at least the first we have in our developer website. Huh? Italy first, okay. So, I mean, I don't know if you can find Mitch in this photo. He was here. Mitch was here since 97. I will not say that he looks the same, but okay. Like another GameCon, like, and again, like several people, like I can find, like, I think at least two people who are here. Three. I see three of them at least were in this room. Like in the next one, like there are five people who are here in this room from this photo. Maybe let a minute for you to see if you can find them. I won't divulgate who is who. You just find them or you don't find them, but. So yeah, so like as I was saying, like GIMP is like a very old project. Six, really? Okay, it's okay if you say so. I see five, but and so, like, as said earlier, like, because GIMP is also like the GIMCon, so like here that was GIMCon like 2000, and there was more like 2003, and like it became basically LibGraphics meeting, right? So that's the first LibGraphics meeting, 2006, and yes, so like that's. And from what I know, like the idea and has always been like why do like a conference just by ourselves? Let's have other project, because like we are doing software, we're doing free software for like everybody, and we want to work together. And it's not just about trying to progress all by ourselves. It's like trying to go forward together. So that's a lot of very old people. You know, like I was saying, like that's very old thoughts. And still here, right? So, like, there's this saying that they say, like, oh, we are like the dwarves patch on the shoulders and giant. And, like, I always found this quote is not right, because it's like we're actually a bunch of dwarves patch on each other's shoulders, right? So, because, like, I like to think that I'm a good developer and everything, but it's the truth in this kind of projects that, like, even if I'm a very good developer, I could not do this by myself, right? We use like GIMP for animation films, and like, well, if I were alone to do this, because we don't have a lot of funds, well, we will not have GIMP, we will not be able to do what we do, right? So yeah, GIMP in the community, like GIMCon become a LibGraphics meeting, and well, always, like, so what was said earlier, like really, I always find very sad that, LibGraphics meeting is struggling every year to find funds, and like there are a lot of projects coming together every year. So like we have often like our project, not every year, but many years, GIMP has sponsored the event, and like it would be nice if some of the other projects which have funds, because I know we are not the only one which have a bit of funds, will participate, because then we could work together and improve, because it's hard to like. I mean, unless we want the event to die, of course, because that could happen at some point, right? So, like GIMP events, like sometimes funds from other projects, like for to come to LibGraphics meeting 1 year, we funded like a MyPaint contributor, his world trip, and we often like reimburse some of the other projects contributors kind of stuff. And like another big thing that like we really contribute code upstream and downstream, and we made like a bunch of projects which are now used by a bunch of other like, and like GTK, Glib, it's all come from my you know, past core contributors who made all these projects, like even like stuff like Gutenprint, which I think has been used after that by Apple, macOS X and everything for the world printing infrastructure. That's come from GIMP originally. GIMP Print, apparently it was called. That's a kind, and of course, Giggle, Bubble, and everything. So, like, personally, I'm here since 2012. My story, basically, I made, like, a few patches, like, okay, when we first tried GIMP, and it crashed after 5 minutes, something like that. You know, like, you unplug the tablet, and it crashed, because that was an old stuff of GTK2 and X11 when there was no hot plug. So actually, that was after a few months. That was one of my first big patches in GTK. And so we tried to start, like, send a few patches. And like after 2 months, only 2 months, that's always, like, blew my mind. Like, after just 2 months, like, Mitch will be like, are you, like, so annoying because you sent too many patches and they're all good, so you have nothing to do, so just take the Git access. So, and that's very Mitch thing, right? So, yes. And then, like, a few months later, there was LibGraphics meeting 2013, like, and then, like, I was on IRC, and, like, Mitch would tell me, just come, like, it's in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so. What? So, like, come, I think it was Madrid. Come to Madrid. And so we just came. And that was our first year. And then we didn't miss any LibGraphics meeting since. So, yeah, so we became some main developers, and, like, the more I went, the more I try also to, like, onboard more contributors and, like, help organizing events and our phones and, like, and then I became one of the community in 2021. So, like, and one of the things that I worked on quite a bit is, like, trying to think about how to make more use of the funds, because we had a bit too much funds, actually, for how we were using them. So, so at some point we, like, and actually I, that's something I've been kind of working on since 2019. I've not been here since 99, so 2019. The date is wrong here. So, and like, we're now creating a new organization actually in 2023, but it didn't pan out. So after this, we just resigned with the GNOME Foundation, which was already our umbrella foundation, but we kind of signed a proper agreement and tried to properly organize ourselves. Until now, it was, like, very, well, very chaotic, but that's also part of the charm of GIMP. So that's something we don't want to lose. As I said, the community and people first is something. So we are trying to find this middle ground between the chaos we want to keep and the organization which would allow us to do a bit more. So part of it was, like, we created a GIMP committee. So that was part of the agreement we had with the GNOME Foundation. So that's 9 people, and that's, I think, yeah, only 2 of these are not here, but, like, 7 of these, like, here. And it's all, like, very, very, very long time contributors, like Akana Peck. She wrote one of the books in GIMP, like, in 2003 or 6 or something. And Adam Han is here. She's a designer. It's me. After Liam also is a long time contributor and does a lot of scan thing and print thing. And, like, Michael, my comment, the first Michael, Mitch, and the second Michael Schumacher, who was, like, kind of the big administrator of GIMP for a long time. And Patrick David, a photographer, and Simon Budig, who you saw already for like the workshop and everything. And Ville Pazzi, with also, and I think, like, five of them were, like, in the photos. So 5 people were in the photos are here. So one of the our GIMP committee is really only for the funds, basically. It's like something which was very important to me is that it's not about leading the software. It's about managing the funds to support the software. So, like, we don't decide as a committee in the side part of the role as a committee. We don't decide anything about what feature should go in, how it should go, and whatever. It's not the role and should not be. That's something which is kind of important, I think, for, like, the safety of the software as a community. So one of the things we are working on is a grant program. So we have not really talked a lot about it, even though we had a 2 initial grants as a first round. It was Pippin and I. but it's kind of still like now it's kind of, we're kind of blocked before doing the second round by like administrative stuff. So mostly we are waiting. I mean, not mostly, we are just waiting, like basically that things get unblocked on the administrative side and everything. That's one of the usage of the money, because like clearly a lot of people who donated money, what they want is not only that we sponsor the project, which is very cool, but also that we sponsor our development. So, and some of us clearly want to try to make a living with software development, or other, because it could be other kind of contribution, of course. And like the GNOME Foundation wants us to call it a fellowship. Apparently, something they use in academics to say like recognize your work. So maybe we could be like the fellowship of the brush or something like that. So, but we let people pass in our case. So yeah, like we try also to onboard more contributors. We restarted to get into the Google Summer of Code thing lately, and actually it works well. We're trying to contributors who look like they are trying more hard and wants to stay. And actually it works well, because in 10 contributors in the last 4 years, like 9 stayed around after the, because we had a lot of people saying, oh, we get hundreds of candidates and then we select them, and then like they do crap job and they just leave directly after. But in our case, we were pretty good at finding the right ones. So that's pretty good. And GIMP is not just developers. We have one of the changes that I'm trying to do is to bring more designers and everything. So we made a separate GIMP UX tracker for UX, user experience discussions and everything, to like steer how GIMP should improve. We have like 86 languages, so there are a lot of translators in GIMP testers. Like Anders, who is here, is like one of the prime testers, so we invite him as core team, because he was initially a translator, I mean, still is. But now he's like testing everything and finding bugs that developers like us like to create all the time. And we have packagers, like that's like Bruno. I don't know why he's over there. I'm sure he's on GitLab like answering people right now. And like he made like huge changes, like because we have now so many packages for like every platform and everything, and he's like really reworking our continuous integration and everything. And so I do hope that Bruno, you will stay for many years. He has been there for a few years now, but we have web stuff, we have the mirror, as I say, like we have all kind of contributors, and that's who we are trying to get more into the whole core team and help continuing with us. Yeah, we are trying to make basically organize everything. That's really one of the stuff. Like, maybe I'm trying to organize a bit too much, but we used to have events with like sending an email to like many people and everything, and it was horrible. So now we have an event organization tracker and this kind of stuff. Especially we are 12 here from the GIMP team. So like you can imagine an email with 12 people and trying to organize stuff, and nobody answers, of course. So I'm always making I'm speaking alone on my emails with a lot of people, and I'm spamming people. So we have a core team tracker, the committee tracker, this kind of stuff. So yeah, GIMP is really for human and by UI, by human. And so no AI, and it's not a company. We don't want to become a company, because a lot of software, they start to become a company at some point when they say, oh, let's make money, or let's or we want to make a living. So it's very good. I'm the one of the people who want to make a living with my coding game, but like we want to do it like what we think is the right way. So like there is no competition also, because whatever the software is not competition, because we don't care. Like when people sometimes in trackers, they tell us, oh yeah, fix these bugs, because otherwise I will go somewhere else. It can be any software, like, and I say we would all say like just we can tell you about nice other ideally free software like Krita and Inkscape if it's vector, and like we are not here to like compete with other software, even the proprietary one. I mean, I think all software should be free software. That's the state that software should be. But if people wants to go to whatever they or whatever the proprietary software, it's not our business. Basically, we don't care. And no trolls. That's an important thing, because when you want to make a community, the most important thing is not the skills. It's not being an asshole, right? So like that's something like I've trying to get new core team members and everything. Like sometimes they're like people who may be very good. Sometimes they are not very good, but they think they are geniuses. But it's just like, I mean, I don't even look at past the fact that they are assholes when they are. So that's the kind of stuff where we're protecting our community, basically. Because, yeah, people matters. So yes, GIMP is free software, but it's also a community. And that's important part. Yeah, that's yesterday's dinner. All 12 people from the GIMP team. And that's it. If you have any questions.
Thank you. Yeah, any questions? Yeah, one in the front, one in the back.
Could you explain a little more about the artificial intelligence policy? Do you not even use it, for example, for proposing something that you then code and fix, et cetera, or for finding something in the code base?
No, I don't use at all. And we don't allow, I mean, people, they are allowed to use it for something else, but for GIMP, it's not allowed. Yeah, no contribution with AI. And actually, it works very well when you see Google Summer of Code and everything. Since we have a very strong anti-AI policy, we had only 30 proposals, and of them, one third, 13 proposals were good proposals of people who follow the rule and everything. It's actually much better than previous years, because when you have this kind of policy, you get the good students.
Hello. Hi. Okay. My question is, you had 10 GSOC contributors and all of them stayed but one. I'm kind of wondering what worked well. Why did that happen? And what did you do anything specific that led to that outcome over those years?
Yeah, I didn't really hear you, actually. I mean, I heard you that you say about the 10 GSOC contributors.
Andy? Here we go. If I got it right, the question was, what did you do to have 9 of the 10 people stick with you after the Google Code of Summer?
Well, we show them well. So we have rules, no AI, and we ask them to make merge requests before. It doesn't have to be anything very complicated. Yeah, doesn't have to be anything complicated, but they have to try and contribute, because then we see how we interact with them on a technical matter. And basically, we are not choosing the projects, we are choosing the people. That's sometimes some contributors will ask us, how can you verify my proposal and everything and validate? So we tell them we barely even read your proposals. Because that's not what matters. We don't spend your time on writing 10 pages. Just spend your time on making patches. And then we discuss with them. We make reviews. We see all the answer and then that's it. So we get the good people like this.
So, sorry to ask the question, but why? Because I see it seems here a lot of people have this. Why you have a strong anti-AI policy?
I have only 20 seconds, first, removing all the ecology things and everything, which matter a lot. AI is crap, it's just make crap quality. That's any developer which who relies on AI will just make crap software. That's just this. It will be enough.
Have you ever said? I'm not thinking about writing software, but have you ever tried to give a big chunk of your code base to see where there is problem?
Other people do, and we do actually get the peer-based reports that have been generated by an outline model. And importantly,
okay, I'll continue. So we do get security bug reports that are created with large language models, like the zero-day initiative. And sometimes those do point out real issues, and we recognize the issue, and we do fix those issues, but we don't use those tools ourselves. And we would be skeptical about even including the output of the AIs, because it, depending on the country and which kind of laws you follow, we don't know if we can mix the output of these things that don't have the provenance of kind of who have authored things in the corpus, because the models don't say whose inputs in the original training corpus actually ends out in the output, and we don't know which laws in which countries how things actually apply. So the safest thing is to don't include contributions that we know have been created with AI. And just 4 or 5 days ago, I got an issue report from the Zero Day Initiative that contained 240 kilobytes of text in the issue report, just repeating itself. And this security researcher hadn't discovered that. He just sent me very sloppy slop.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mentioned that your committee decides on allocation of funds, but not on what features get implemented. How does that work in practice? Because I could imagine that the allocation of fund kind of indirectly determines what kind of features get developed.
No, because as I say, it's the same as this or whatever. We don't choose features, we choose people. So we are not putting job offers. Contributors, it's really free space, free community. Like, people work on what they want to work. And like someone doing a lot of great stuff on what they want to work, then they will be the ones who, if it's for grants, for instance, that will be the one you would want to fund with a grant. And maybe there is a feature where like we'd like personally, maybe to have someone working on them, but that nobody is interested to work on it, then that's bad, but that's life. We are not managers. And committee, one of the first thing when we created the committee and when we chose members and everything, which are all like, for example, for 20 years, they say they don't want to boss employee relationships. Like several of them, and me included, like we didn't want to boss employee relationship. So it's really like, which is why actually the fellowship wording up, which apparently is used for academics, is actually a nice wording, I guess, because that's really about acknowledging that you are doing great work, not trying to steal your work, just acknowledging your work.
Thank you. I think I could see quite many similarities between GIMP and LGM here, like about the community aspect and how to involve people, how to make people stick. Thanks for this insight.